I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to 2 Chronicles. We've been studying Romans for the last several weeks, and I thought I was close to ready for this morning and what I wanted to look at in Romans. But the longer I looked at it, I thought, no, that deserves another look and just check it out for another week here and let it simmer a little bit. So I thought, well, we'll just go back to the year 2003. You all remember this message, I'm sure, 2003. If you're saying, well, this is an old one, huh? Is it right for pastors to use old sermons? Well, let me ask you this. If you're a carpenter, is it all right to use an old hammer? Why, sure it is. There's things that you need to do. But anyway, we've done a little extra work on this one too. So we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. And after the king slept with his fathers, Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and he made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the territories of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gerbal, and against the Meunites. And the Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and he cut out many cisterns, for he had large herds both in the Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war in divisions according to the number and the muster made by Jael, the secretary, and Mazalah, the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's command. And the whole number of the heads of the father's houses of mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, stones for slinging, and in Jerusalem he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and in the corners and to shoot arrows and great stones, and his fame spread far. For he was marvelously helped until he was strong. We keep reading today. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went to him after him, and 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn the incense to the Lord, but for the priests and the sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry, and now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him, and King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. We'll stop at that point. There was a lady one day who was an actress. Her name was Billie Burke. And she was taking a little vacation, and she was out on an ocean liner just enjoying the vacation experience. But as she was sitting at one of the tables there on deck, she noticed that the man at the next table was having somewhat of a difficult time. He was coughing and didn't seem very comfortable. And so she just spoke to him and said, "Are you uncomfortable?" I would have thought that would have been obvious, but he nodded his head. Yes, he was uncomfortable. Whereupon she said, "Listen, I'll tell you what you should do for that." She said, "You need to go back to your stateroom. You need to drink lots of orange juice. You need to take 5 aspirin tablets. You need to cover yourself with all the blankets you can find. And you need to sweat this cold out. That's the only way to get rid of it. I know what I'm talking about. By the way, I'm Billie Burke of Hollywood." And the man smiling, he smiled warmly at her. And then he said, "Well, thank you." He said, "My name is Dr. Mayo." He said, "I'm from Mayo Clinic." Sometimes we get ahead of what our area of expertise or our direction might be. Sometimes we can become filled with vanity and with pride, and sometimes that happens in rather embarrassing ways. A story is told about a young girl who one day went to her priest. She was a Catholic young lady, and this has nothing against the Catholics. It's just that she went to the priest, and she said, I have a sin that I want to confess. And he said, "Well, what is your sin?" And she said, "I have to confess to you the sin of vanity." And he said, "Oh, well," he said, "tell me about that. What is this?" And she said, "Well, every day when I get out of bed in the morning, I go over to my mirror, and I look in the mirror, and I see how beautiful I am, and I'm filled with vanity." He looked at her very carefully and he said, "That's not a sin." He said, "That's a mistake." Again, a pride factor there involved. But anyway, that's what happened with this man, Uzziah. You can see he was a very talented man. And we, as a people, tend to honor talented people. We like people who are talented in business and sports and music and even in the areas of science and so forth. Anybody who has made a reputation for themselves at being very good at what they do, they get people's attention. The Bible says you see a man who is good at what he does, and the same thing is true with a lady. Find somebody who's very good at what they do, and what happens? They will stand before important people. They're going to get attention. People are going to notice them. There was nothing wrong with someone being talented, nothing wrong with using the talents to the best possible ability. Nothing wrong either with using your talents to bless other people. But when you get to the point where you fail to realize where your talents have come from, and that you're not really living for God's glory any longer, but you're living for your own, then something is very tragic. Talent, of course, can take you to success, but only character can keep you in that area of success. Let's take a look at this man for just a few moments here together. His name was Uzziah, as you see here, and he was a great starter of things. Certainly, it's amazing to me. You know, of course, that we are a year away from our national presidential election, and don't worry, I'm not going to get political on you. Don't believe in that from the pulpit, but I'll tell you this, that I know that no matter who is chosen this year, they're not going to be 16 years old. You have to be much older than that to be president of the United States. But this young man, when his father was no longer there, he became the king at age 16. Now you say, "Well, why in the world did they do that?" Well, that's the way it worked in a system where there was a monarchy, where the kingship was passed along from one member of the monarchy to the next. And that only lasted, of course, as long as that family was in power. Once that family had been eliminated by the next family, then it was no longer an ongoing process anymore. But at this point, Uzziah is chosen by the people to be the next king because of his connection with the family that he had been a part of. How long did he reign? Well, the Bible tells us 52 years. Can you imagine that? You became king when you're 16, and for 52 years you are in charge of the kingship. It's very amazing that he had a good long life. And you can tell from what the scriptures tell us here that he was a godly man. He was a man who sought to live for the Lord. He sought to honor the Lord. I think there were two things that greatly influenced him in this. Number one, his father was that kind of a man. We read about it in verse 4. And verse 4 tells us about this man. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to what his father Amaziah had done. Boy, there's a strong Father's Day message in there right there, isn't it? About the importance of fathers and the impact that they can have on the next generation. Very important. But there's another reason why he was such a strong king, and that is because he also was in close contact with the man Zechariah. You see that in verse 5. He set himself up to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. Isn't that amazing? He had a good father to train him while he was growing up, and then he surrounded himself with a good God-fearing, Bible-teaching man, a true prophet of the Lord who honored the Lord in all his teaching. And being around that kind of an influence in his life, it made a big difference. No wonder for 52 years he was able to rule with the complete blessing of the Lord in his life. Now you notice a couple things about him too. He was a great military leader. You read about all the different things that he did, one of which was to defeat the Philistines and the Arabs and so forth. He had a well-trained, well-equipped army, and of course this is something that included even advanced weaponry for the day. He didn't just have the best weapons that were currently available. He had men in his army that were out building new weapons that could be used in times of war. You notice, too, that he was an incredible builder. The Bible tells us here that he built towers. He did that for not only the fact of building a tower because of the beauty and so forth, but they were also used as defensive towers. They helped to defend the people against the enemy. He built cisterns. They had everything that they needed to survive, including lots of food, because he was also a great farmer. Not only did he believe in this for himself, but he had people working his fields, his vineyards. The scripture tells us in verse 10 that he loved the soil, and he was a very active individual in this. Now, he was talented, he was wealthy, he was successful in every way, and as long as he sought the Lord, God helped him to prosper. Now, I'm not trying to suggest to you that every God-fearing man is going to be a rich man. But I do want to tell you that I believe that every one of us, when we follow the Lord, can be successful. You say, well, what do you mean by success? Well, I've often given you this definition of success. It's one that I did part of in putting it together. The other part I stole from a preacher many years ago named George Truett. He was the pastor in Dallas, Texas. And anyway, real success means what? It means finding God's will for your life and doing it with his help, for his glory, and for the good of others. Now, if you're living like that, you are a successful man or woman. You may be wealthy. You may have just average income. Whatever the case, you are a successful man. Why? Because you sought to find God's will for your life. You notice that's what Uzziah did too. Not only did you seek to find God's will for your life, but also you find yourself doing it. And you're doing it how? With God's help. It's not something that you're doing on yourself. You're not taking the honor for it. You're not saying, well, look at what a God-fearing man I am, and it's all because of me. I'm such a righteous person.
He didn't do that. Uzziah didn't do that, and certainly our definition of success does not include that either. Real success means finding God's will for your life and doing it with His help for His glory, and also for what else? The good of others. Jesus came into the world and He said, I am among you as one who serves. I am a servant, and those that would be great in My kingdom are those who are servants as well. Well, this man served the people. He was a great man, very successful in every way. So what happened? Well, you see the story. He became full of pride. He attempted to do something that God had declared in the Old Testament was not acceptable for a king to do. What was that? Priests could go into the place where worship occurred and where the sacrifices were offered, and they were the ones that were designated to be offering the sacrifices to God. Now, these sacrifices were very important because they were pointing ahead to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those sacrifices couldn't forgive sins. They could temporarily withhold judgment because of sins, but they were only pointing forward to the coming of Christ, where the real payment for our sins would take place. Okay? When a man went in to the tabernacle and he offered a sacrifice with the help of the priest, that was acceptable. He could walk out and believe that his sins were truly taken care of, but the real payment for them, as you know from the New Testament, is only when Jesus came Himself and fulfilled the sacrificial system. The blood of bulls and goats and sheep and cattle and all of that could not pay for one sin. They could only point a picture to what Jesus was going to do when He came. And then when Jesus came and died on the cross, He died once for all. It wasn't an ongoing sacrificial system like the priesthood of the Old Testament. He died once, and that's all it took. One death upon Calvary's cross paid for all of your sins and for all of mine if we have our faith and trust in Him. And so we see here a very beautiful picture in the Old Testament of God's wonderful salvation that is coming in the future from the standpoint of Chronicles here. The priest only, however, was the one that was allowed to do this, just as Jesus Christ, our high priest, is the only one who actually can take care of our sins by His shed blood. Well, what did he do? One day he decided that, hey, I can do everything else. I can build. I can be a commander-in-chief of the army. I can do all sorts of things. I am going to go in and I'm going to do the sacrifice. And you know, when he came in there to do it, there were the priests that resisted him. Sometimes you hear about the situation in Israel where religion is in a bad state of affairs, but not here. Here, 80 different priests came before him and said, "Don't do it. What you're about to do is a violation of what God has clearly commanded, and you may not do that. If you do, not only are you going to hurt yourself, but you'll bring great dishonor in this whole situation as well." He didn't listen. You know, in a certain sense, he's a smaller picture of what Satan did long ago. Satan's real name, of course, is Lucifer, and he had a high position, the highest position. The one that was in the presence of God all the time was Lucifer, and he was the one who brought glory to the Lord in everything that he did. He was to honor God. He was the supreme person there next to God Himself, declaring God's praise and God's glory. And yet, in spite of all of the honor that came with that position, you know what happened with Lucifer. He was later filled with pride. He decided, I'm going to be like God, and I'm going to get the glory that I want for myself. And even if that means resisting God and opposing Him and messing up a lot of things that God has done, I'm going to acquire that. And so in pride, Satan stepped forward. And you know what happened. He lost his high position. and because of that, ruined the entire world in which we are living as well. Someone has said Uzziah lost his status and standing by being remembered more for his arrogant act and the subsequent punishment than for his great reforms. God requires not just obedience, but God is looking for what? Lifelong obedience. God wants us to continue faithfully, to persevere, to follow the Lord in all things. When we do that, we are living the way that God wants us to live. But if we're thinking, well, you know, I've served the Lord quite well in these areas here, God ought to be happy with that. I mean, you know, so I allow a little compromise over here, what's the big deal? But that's not the way that God works. God said, no, I want you to follow in all things. You are the king. Here is your honor that goes with the kingship. Here is your responsibilities and duties. But here's what you are not to do. You're not try to function as a priest. That is not your role. Well, you know what happened. Even though 80 priests tried to stop this man, he went ahead with it and did it. And that moment inside of the worship center of Israel, what happened? He was struck with leprosy that quickly. Now, I don't know what you know about leprosy, but there are two things, really, when you think about leprosy, there's two things you have to remember. Number one, it was incurable in Bible times. There was no way that you could go down the street to a local doctor and get a shot for leprosy and be cured. That was not available at this time. So it was an incurable disease. And secondly, it was something that was often spoken about and used as a picture of sin. What was the only way you could get rid of leprosy? A miracle. Only if God miraculously healed your body could you have leprosy be taken away. If God didn't do that, there was no way that you could do it yourself. That's the same thing that's true with sin. We cannot pay for our own sins. We cannot atone for our own sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what the hymn writer said, and the hymn writer is absolutely right. The only thing that can take away our sins is a miracle. That miracle is called regeneration. When God takes a dead sinner and breathes new life into them by the power of his Holy Spirit and draws them savingly into a relationship with himself, only then through regeneration, through subsequent faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus, only then can the atonement for sin fully happen for us. Uzziah's life was destroyed by his prideful attitude and the angry words that he uttered on that day. We all need to remember the dangers, both of this for ourselves, because there is a great danger that is associated with pride. Let's just look at one of those passages, or just listen as I read it otherwise. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 16 about this. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And so we see here that pride is not acceptable to God. Why? Why would pride ever be acceptable to God when pride was the very thing that helped to make such a mess of things even in the beginning with Lucifer and his decision to become like God? Pride brought destruction to the world as we know it today. And it brought dishonor to the name of God. But we see here that this is exactly what Uzziah is trying to do too. In pride, he is trying to step out and to do what God has said that he cannot do. So his life was suddenly destroyed by his proudful attitude and by his angry words. We also need to beware of special areas of weakness that can lead to bad choices. What temptations may we be facing that would tempt us to step forward in pride and do things that are contrary to God, things that he does not approve of? Are you going to use your talents and your abilities to later on become instruments to bring about, through pride, your own glory and honor? Or are you going to do like Uzziah did originally. Originally, he took the talents that he had and the abilities that he had, and what did he do? He followed the teaching of his father. He followed the instruction that he had received from Zechariah the priest, and he did what he was supposed to do. And God was pleased because here was a man who for 52 years, that's remarkable, isn't it? To rule that long and rule so faithfully. And yet you see how quickly destruction could come by a simple choice to act in pride and to do what he was not allowed to do. We live in a world where talent and accomplishment impresses a lot of people. But talent may impress others, but God desires that we become persons of godly character. Talent may bring us, but only Christian character is going to keep us in the way that God would have us walk. And that's what God wants us to be, people of character, people of conviction, not just for a time, not just momentarily, not just occasionally. He's looking for people who will serve him faithfully even to the end. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this, we marvel at the giftedness of this man, Uzziah, and yet we also marvel at the foolish choice that he made, even though warned by 80 people not to do this. We pray, Lord, that you will help each one of us to live for you. We know that we are sinners. We know that we need your constant cleansing through the blood of Jesus. We know also that we need a Savior who can do what no one of us can do in and of ourselves. We pray, Lord, that we will trust in you now and always to live for you a life that is true and dependable, that we will strive and always to please you in all that we do. Lord, help us to do that, because this is what real Christian commitment is. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will give us faithfulness, that you will take away the pride and the arrogance that might swell up within us because of certain blessings or talents that God has given to us. Lord, help us to realize that everything we have is from you. It didn't come from us. All we are just the stewards who have been entrusted with those talents for a little while. Lord, may all who come behind us find us to be faithful. And we pray these things now, asking it in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.